If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Drew.
And this is Blake.
And you're listening to the Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Controllers podcast.
Buddy, welcome to episode 148. Before we get to it, the usual stuff, we're just going to shoot through our little internet presence preamble. You can find us on all of the social media platforms. Just search the awesome name of the podcast. You keep tracking of our comings and goings. Most importantly, is you come check out our Twitch channels. If we just finished up a couple of games and we're moving on to a new one. Well, we finished up a game, tried one out, and then we moved on to an actual one that we all have been enjoying.
Our one sitting,
but we were having a blast. You can come check us out. It's usually it's Wednesday nights starting around 9:30 Central Time until roughly midnight. Mm-hmm. Depending on, we've had some games where the servers shut off and it caused us to have to stop playing earlier. Yeah, but
it's weird.
Yeah, but please go check us out on that. Again, that's twitch.tv/2smokecontrollers. And then basically that's the most important thing. We do now have a YouTube channel that's slowly accruing content. We've actually been working on that. We have like our entire playthrough of Dark Souls Remastered, my RoboCop, Drew did through Bramble, the Mountain King, and then I have a Magic the Gathering up there, and there's like, actually one of the games we beat was Zombie Army 4. I have all 5 episodes of that in the process of being posted, and we have just a couple other things up there, games we've tried, games we haven't got a chance to talk about just yet. Mm-hmm. And of course we do have like a Patreon page that everyone's got, you know, just help us support everything, and mostly just pay Brian, honestly.
We'd like to pay you. He works sort of hard.
It's sort of hard, especially while he's working his, you know, 12 hours in a combine. But yeah, please check that out. And we do have a store. Actually, we do have a store where you can buy a lot of the art that you see, thanks to our awesome artist, Mladen Markovic, a.k.a. Devious Pixel. You can check out all the art we have for him.
Mm-hmm. We got new art upcoming on our guest episode. Mm-hmm.
And all the links to this can be found in the show notes. You just click the little show more button and wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. It's all there. And let's get to it.
This episode's going to be a little, I won't say, no, we don't ever branch out too far, but this is maybe like more of a franchise episode of when TV shows and video games on kind of the anticipation of a new game coming out for this franchise of TV shows and games we've grown up with.
So what we're talking about today, we'll focus on a couple of more recent ones just because those I've played and then I might spend more time on those. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do normally I would do a deep dive into the developer and everything. I'm not going to do that because that'd be just too, mm-hmm, too much.
But for Brian doesn't know what song to use because he usually plays a song for us after Blake says the name, just go find the opening song for the original TV show.
Yeah.
Really easy to find on YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't find it, we'll help you. But the franchise we're talking about today is Digimon. Digimon. I know that's kind of a shocker for some people, maybe. I don't know. But I've...
Because we grew up with it.
We grew up with it. Like, we started... It started when I was young. In the 99, I think, is when the first season came out. 99,
yeah, we grew up all with the big mystery. We're watching, like, we're watching Digimon and Dragon Ball Z. We're waiting for Goku to fight Frieza, and we're waiting to find out who the eighth Digidestin is at the same time.
We even tried to record the episode where they revealed the eighth Digidestin with the VHS tape in our parents' room, and we watched it live in the living room. But it being the first time we ever tried to record something off TV, we didn't do anything.
Never worked.
Yeah. It didn't work. So we're like, oh no.
It was good times. Goku and Frieza, Digimon, eighth Digidestin. That's a good childhood right there.
Oh yeah. Now, just as a quick thing, the majority of the Digimon games
never come to
a large chunk of them haven't even made it, didn't even come to America.
Yeah, Digimon's always been overshadowed by Pokemon.
Yeah,
always.
Like they tried to advertise it as Digimon's gonna be the next Pokemon killer, but there's always gonna be another Pokemon killer, and they don't.
Pokemon's too big.
I don't think anyone ever advertised that who does Digimon, this is going to be the next thing. It was all the salespeople and the publishers trying to find a way.
Just because they're monsters and they fight things. And
yeah. They're, you know, monster capture thing. But the majority of the games are all developed by Bandai Namco. That's like...
We'll publish them.
Developed too. Like, majority of them are Bandai Namco.
Mm-hmm. They're big on anime stuff anyway. Mm-hmm.
Or even does something like the more recent entries. I didn't speak about them when we did the episode because I wanted to kind of talk about it for this episode. But when we did Wild Arms 2 a few episodes back, mm-hmm. Media Vision is the most recent one. Media Vision is also owned by Bandai Namco.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But
I thought they were originally a Sony company.
But I think they're like a subsidiary at the moment. But the three most recent entries for the Digimon franchise, which is the Digimon Stories.
Mm-hmm.
Cyber Sleuth and Hacker's Memory, and then the one that we're actually genuinely excited about, what kind of triggered all of this, is Digimon Story Time Strangers, which will be coming out, I think, later this year. Is it next year?
It should be this month, next month. We pre-order it. We never say on this podcast, we don't pre-order anything. We're too cheap, and everything tends to come to Game Pass. We pre-orders include Final Fantasy VII, Horizon Forbidden West, which I still haven't played, Death Stranding, and Digimon Story Time Stranger. Mm-hmm. I think Final Fantasy VII Tactics Evolice. So we don't pre-order or buy anything because we Gamefly and Game Pass pretty much everything. So there's things that are important to us, Digimon games being one. I say more important to Blake because I haven't completed any recent Digimon games because of just the style and stuff that I don't. Some of the things I don't like about them, and or I don't know. We'll talk about a little bit of each game. A little bit. Of each game, of the recent ones, before we talk about, we don't really know a whole lot about Time Stranger, which is part of the fun about it.
Yeah, like I've been purposely ignoring some of the stuff just so that I can be surprised by it.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, there has been 50, I don't know if I said it earlier, there's been 56 Pokemon.
It's over.
56 Digimon games that have been developed and put out. Now, they range, because some of them are just, because there's Digimon card games, so there's Digimon card games that are both mobile and on, like, consoles and stuff like that, or handheld, rather. The majority of where they got their start and everything, too, are the virtual pets.
Yeah, God, those are big still.
Those are still huge. And then I think more recently they actually did a Monster Hunter Digimon crossover with like the little virtual pets and stuff like that, where you got some to Digivolve into the actual monsters and stuff. I think it's kind of cool. But then, like I said, there's mobile.
Man, imagine fighting in an actual Monster Hunter game, fighting some Digimon.
Something simple as just, let me fight a Greymon, you know?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I'd have to fight a Metal Greymon or a War Greymon, just a Greymon.
Yeah, the more like animal looking ones.
Yeah.
Man, that'd be cool. I'll never do that. Digimon's not big enough. And Digimon would do it, unlike Pokemon. You would never play a Monster Hunter where you're hitting Pokemon with swords and bows. It would never happen. But Digimon, I could see Digimon.
Cutting down a Rhydon or a Rhyhorn.
Yeah. What an idea.
Yeah, it'd be dope. Because, I mean, it's not like they haven't done it in, like, the animes.
The only thing that's different is, like, wailing on these guys. And the big difference between the Digimon and Pokemon is Digimon actually talk.
Oh, yeah.
So they'd be like, ow! Oh! Stop wailing on me!
This hurts.
This hurts so bad.
Dear Digigod, why?
That's so funny. Yeah, I feel like they do talk, so it would be really funny. They would be roaring, they'd be screaming.
The majority of them talk. There's some that don't, like insectoids and stuff, but the majority of them do speak.
I think you and the bugs talk, yeah. Like, Quagamon and them.
Yeah, like to the majority.
Oh, man, it'd be funny. One of them screaming in pain instead of just roaring. Oh, man, that's funny. I want to play that game.
I'd give it a whirl. So... I've played, like I said, of the 56 that have come, I have played a total of, I did a count last night, I've played 15 of the 56.
Well, how many of the 56 even came to America?
That, I couldn't
figure less than it. Half.
I'm sure.
Less than half, yeah.
I guarantee less than half. But that includes, like, from my personal experience, I've played, maybe not necessarily beat, but I've turned on and played Digimon World 1 through 4, plus they have one called Data Squad, and I've played the most recent entry in it, which was Digimon World Next Order. And then there was a bunch of stuff on the DS that I played. There was Championship, Stories, Dusk and Dawn. And then I did try some of the mobile ones out. There's one called Digimon Lynx and Digimon Re-Arise.
I think Re-Arise just shut down, didn't it, last year?
Yeah. I play them, but then like just like all free to play gacha games, I'm just like, oh, if in order to progress, I got to start spending money or something, and I'm like, I'm not doing that. It's a mobile game. Mm-hmm. I refuse to spend money on a mobile game. But I guess some of the other genres, they're open to trying everything, because they even did a Mario Kart ripoff. They did Digimon Racing, where you had Digivolve and you would hit things, Digivolve and shoot out special attacks, and then of course random other things like Banana Peel. I don't know if we played, but I know it exists.
Yeah, we played Rumble Arena back in the day.
There's actually three Rumble Arenas: Rumble Arena, Rumble Arena 2, and All Star Rumble Arena.
Which one did we play?
The original PlayStation one.
So yeah, because that's their closest thing to it would be Smash Brothers.
Yeah, but with all the Digimon. But yeah. Then the All Star Rumble Arena actually made it to like 360.
Oh really?
It was on
Xbox. We didn't play those yet.
But they've hit a lot of the consoles. They have, of course, well, no iPhone, but they have Android, Game Boy, iOS. No, iOS is
iOS.
Yeah, there you go. Then of course the DS, GameCube, Switch, all the PlayStations, including Vita and PSP, Sega Saturn, Windows, and something called the Wonder Swan.
Yeah,
which is like a precursor Game Boy or something.
No, I don't know what it is exactly, but I'd have to look it up to see what it is. So I don't know if we ever even got it here.
And then, of course, the Xbox 360 and One.
Yeah.
And like I said, they're trying, and I appreciate everything that they do. But one of the really cool things that I read recently was that with Digimon Stories Cyber Sleuth, which is one of the most recent
success, probably, yeah.
And so it was a crazy thing for how that goes, because it was in development for a long time.
All of them tend to be, for some reason. There's huge gaps between these games. Mm-hmm. It's been a couple of years since Survive, and a couple of years again before Time Stranger.
So so Cyber Sleuth came out in March of 2015, and Hacker's Memory came out December of 2017. They were actually...
So Hacker's Memory is more like a...
An expansion.
More of an expansion. You said... Yeah, we'll talk about it a little bit. You said you didn't like Hacker's Memory.
Yeah, I didn't like Hacker's Memory as much, just because it was like... The story was a little weaker. It would have been better... And I think they even did a thing where they released it for cheaper. It was like $40 coming out as opposed to 60. Mm-hmm. But then they started releasing like Digimon Story Complete, where you got both of them together and stuff like that.
There's been a bunch of those. Yeah, you see those all on sale all the time.
But one of the crazy things is, says they stated that they were creating a new Digimon game, but they were actually having to create it from scratch, and they had it planned on being a 4-year development cycle. Hmm. And both Cyber Sleuth and Hacker's Memory were created. They were made at the same time because they already knew that Hacker's Memory was going to be. They didn't know if it was going to be an expansion or part 2. and they decided to try to make it a part two.
Like 1.5?
Yeah, kind
of. More what it is. I didn't play. I dabbled. I haven't beat a Digimon game in years, and I'm hoping maybe Time Stranger will change that. I dabbled in Cyber Sleuth because I didn't really like... Is that a lot of what you're kind of running around? Instead of running, you're like running around in these little digital landscapes. What do you call it? These... You're just running through like just like in Digimon, they go to the digital world, like the TV show, and they run around like a world with like trees and rivers and like weird glitches and cool. It looks cool normally. This didn't do that. You just ran around on these
like these vague in like cyberspace areas.
Cyberspace.
Like, you just ran around on walkways, or the occasional thing was like, ooh, I'm running through the subway, but there's glitches on the wall. Yeah. And it was
kind of. So I thought that was kind of, I know they had a budget, but it seemed like that was just really, really running down these rarely repetitive digital corridors just wasn't doing anything for me. I didn't really care for the story. Supposedly it gets halfway decent. It
does get quite a bit better on the back end.
Yeah. And then ahead of the old, which happens in a lot of anime games, the new one might do it as well, as it said, the games were in English, but it's only has Japanese VO.
Yeah.
And I can't.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
I don't know. Crazily enough, the only thing me and Blake can listen to in Japanese VO is the Yakuza franchise or Like a Dragon franchise. Anything else that has Japanese VO, I just don't want to hear it. I don't know what that is, but like it works for me in Yakuza. Can't deal with it in anything else. I don't know what that is. Waiting for them to stop talking in Japanese when I read through the sentences
and stuff like that. Way I just turn off the VO.
Yeah, I probably would too. So I didn't get all the way through Cyber Sleuth. Obviously, I only got a couple hours into it. I never played Hacker's Memory, and I did not play Survive because we'll talk about Survive after this. But I'm cautiously optimistic about Time Stranger.
But just a kind of a brief little thing, I did have like some notes about Cyber Sleuth and how kind of like, because it's been a minute since a game came out in America. Because the last game,
Survive.
No, I'm talking about for Digimon Story. So before, now it gets confusing because they didn't know, because there's different branches. You have Digimon World and Digimon Story. And they're specifically different types. Digimon World tends to focus on. Like you have the virtual pet aspect.
You have to feed them, raise them,
take them to the bathroom and stuff like that. And Digimon Story is what it is. It's story.
More
JRPG stuff. So Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth is actually the fifth installment of the Digimon Story series. It's the first one to come to America since 2011 when they did Super Cross Wars. So there's
Where's that one at?
I'm guessing it was Japan only for Super Cross Wars. I don't know. It's also my least favorite season Cross of Digimon, Wars, yeah. So I don't really care about it too much. But it's also the first game released in America with the original title, Digimon Story. Because everything before that was all called Digimon World, including the Digimon World Dusk and Dawn. They were supposed to be Digimon Story, Dusk Burst and Dawn Break or whatever. But they just broke it, and then because it was two games, like, oh, we can sell it like Pokemon. So we're going to call it Digimon World because Digimon World is already an established franchise. Yeah, and we'll call it Dusk and Dawn and have two different versions.
Yeah, they stopped that trying to chase what Pokemon's doing thing, thankfully.
Yeah. But I guess it's great. You know, that's a big gap. That's, you know, 6 years.
Yeah.
But one of the other cool things that I was reading about in it is with Cyber Sleuth. During Cyber Sleuth, during the development, overseas distributors were not open to the idea of localizing Digimon. They're like, we're fine. It's not making enough money. We don't really care about localizing it. But they were actually able to get localization through fans due to the petitions and stuff like that. So many people wrote in and signed and like, please, please bring a Digimon game. Please bring a good Digimon game to us. And so that's one of the few times at fan outcry and petitions, signed
actually
petitions.
Actually works every now and then.
And so they localized it bare minimum, like I said.
Like it revitalized. I mean, thanks to these. I mean, I didn't sign no petition, but.
I'm always, I guess,
but, localizing. Yeah, we're supporting the new game, but localizing Cyber Sleuth is kind of what maybe would revitalize the franchise in America a bit, you know, because it's, you know.
Yeah.
And Cyber Sleuth, at least, is a success story. I don't, like I say, we'll get to survive, but I don't know sales numbers and stuff. I know Cyber Sleuth is generally highly regarded in the Digimon, our little Digimon corner of the internet.
Well, okay, for Cyber Sleuth and Hacker's Memory, it's difficult, necessarily, but because the way they released it, it got released on so many consoles and it was like stagnated. Mm-hmm. And then they had to get a different developer to work on the Switch version and stuff like that because it couldn't even handle it.
Yeah, it couldn't even handle the game.
And like I said, it came out originally March 2015, and then Hacker's Memory was December 2017. As of March 2025, so it's not great. It's 10 years.
Well, yeah, it's a niche franchise. Yeah. We're not making Call of Duty, Pokemon. Yeah. Nobody makes those. People always askew these things. I mean, if this game sold a million copies, it's a success for Digimon.
Between all the different versions that came out, regular Hacker's Memory, and then like combined collection editions, it did manage to sell 2.5 million.
Yeah, that's big for Digimon.
That's fantastic. You know, that's a good
pays for the localization.
It's a good success. And like, I've put in plenty of time, and I beat both Cyber Sleuth and Hacker's Memory. I don't know my time because True Trophies only tracked one of them, but I was able to. I spent about 27 days playing Cyber Sleuth and 106 hours in Hacker's Memory, going through everything, getting all the
collection. 100 hours in Hacker's
Memory? It says 106 hours and 53 minutes.
That can't be accurate.
I don't know. That's because I have to.
27 days. It's just like it's just counting the day from you started playing to the day you beat it. It's basically all it's counting.
No. That's for Cyber Sleuth. For actual Hacker's Memory, it tracked my time as 106 hours and 53 minutes on Hacker's Memory.
Isn't that game like 20 hours long?
No,
I thought it was like a half a game or like a quarter of a game.
I mean, but you still have all the other stuff where you got to get all the Digivolutions and you got to train.
Are you doing all that? Yeah.
Yeah. You have to collect everything, which I'm all for. And they even did a, because just recently, I'm going to bring it up now, because just recently they announced the starter Digimon that you get for Time Strangers.
Yeah. It's a week. It's weak.
For those who are in the know, it was.
They're all season one stuff.
Yeah. It was Patamon, Gomamon, and Digidevimon.
Dimmy.
What did I say? Dimmy Devimon.
Dimmy Devimon, yeah.
I have here that the, now admittedly, I think that roster is a little better choosing than the one we had for Cyber Sleuth. Cyber Sleuth was Palamon, Terriermon, and Hagirumon.
What was the second one?
Terriermon.
Oh, the rabbit?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's a little more unique, I think, than Time Strangers. Patamon, it's like
Patamon wants
Seraphimon. Everybody's going to pick Patamon, so they get Seraphimon and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Here, where people are going to go, and they're like, "What words are they saying now?" Gomamon is famously to us, I was like a really lame Digimon.
He gets better, like his ultimates and Mega, but his
I don't know. I think like he's just very and a very in the show. He's a very whiny Digimon. Mm-hmm. And then Dibby Devimon, is that the mildest Mon line?
Devimon, my oldest Mon. Yeah.
Okay, so that's probably the one. People are going to pick either the angel or the devil. I feel like Gomamon will get crapped on for this game.
Off to the side.
I imagine. I get kudos. I will give them kudos for not putting Agumon in there.
Yeah,
that's like Agumon's like.
He's the Pikachu.
I would say the Pikachu, but he's nowhere near it. But he's like in every freaking season of the shows. Yeah. Like they try to get him Agumon's in there somewhere.
The mascot for sure.
Yeah, so like, so kudos to that. But they did choose. I also don't like them choosing three things from like first season. They could have kind of mixed it up a little bit more, and also put somebody in there we don't know.
Yeah,
put at least one we don't know. You know, these are all literally season one.
I think they're just doing the quick and easy thing,
I guess. But like, I mean, I don't know. That was a kind of a weak announcement, but we'll see how it goes.
But also, only it doesn't matter. that much because you eventually
you could be stuck with them. I don't know.
Well, if it's anything like the other ones, you can have up to six people on your team, three in the front and three in the back, and you can rotate out.
You're assuming it's going to play the same as Cyber Sleuth.
I'm guessing. Okay. Because it's called Digimon Stories Time Strangers. Mm. So Hacker's Memory and Cyber Sleuth both played that way. I'm assuming very much so that
chances are
it'll play very similarly. Mm-hmm. Having not seen any of the actual stuff because I want to be surprised, I'm purely guessing on that part. But for Cyber Sleuth, there were a total of 249 unique Digimon featured in the game. And that was pretty cool. It also included that seven were available through added to DLC.
Pre-order.
Mm-hmm. But it says of those seven, two of them were exclusive to Western release only.
Hmm. That's cool.
Which is kind of unique.
Did you know them?
I believe the annoying thing is for the ones that I think that they are is that you can only get them with a pre-order bonus, and they
usually come out for free later. Like Survive had Gilmon, I think.
Yeah,
were you able to download Gilmon for free?
No, Gilmon was like $4.
$4? Yeah, forget that.
I'm not doing that.
No,
but this was a little lame, but it was Black Agumon and Black Gabumon.
That is lame. Those are palette swaps.
Yeah, but they eventually, you know. But it led to like a whole cool thing where you got like this dark Omnimon and stuff like that. Omnimon Zwart mode, where he was like completely black and gold.
Yeah, Digimon has a thing of palette swapping and naming. So now these are just Black Agumon and Black. They have a thing where they will palette swap a color. What's the Gabumon thing where he's like pink instead and they change his name?
Oh, Psychmon.
Psychmon, and then there's some other ones too, like Ice Agumon. It's just a white Agumon. They have a thing. They do have a thing where they'll palette swap and give something a completely different name.
But they will give it different. It will eventually have its own different.
But they have those in the show. Like there's like a blue Marimon and stuff like that. And there's like Black or Greymon's in one of the shows.
Yeah.
So it's like a thing that they just lean right into these palette swaps. Now these are the things that we're kind of making fun of, but people loot people, and these actually do things and mean something. Unlike when you get a shiny Pokemon, people don't talk about this as just a palette swap. It doesn't do anything. It's just a different color. But at least these try to use plot lines and do different things.
Plot lines, different personalities, or one is Black Agumon black because they've been corrupted by the virus.
Yeah, the Black War Greymon plot line is pretty sad.
It's actually quite traumatic. And that's the other thing. Speaking of something kind of sad,
the weeds on the people. Oh, who's this episode for? We're off in the weeds on Digimon.
It's for us. But let me finish this thought real quick, and then I'm gonna hop into what we just spoke about with like sad stories. Is the game does feature a new game plus mode, which lets you bring everything, so you can start the game with megas.
So a mode that never appealed to me in any video game except for Dead Space.
Yeah,
only time I've ever played new game plus. Oh nope, Dead Space and Horizon Zero Dawn.
And
Horizon Zero Dawn. Did I do new game plus? I did because I played on the hardest difficulty
and got that armor, and because you got that super armor.
Mm-hmm.
Now. The complete edition, the one that comes with Digimon Hacker's Memory, included an additional 92 fresh Digimon. And so between those the 92 Digimon from that and the 252, when you played complete, you get 341 unique Digimon.
Do you mean these Digimon show up in Hacker's Memory, or they only show up in the complete edition?
There are 92 different ones put into Hacker's Memory weren't in.
Exactly. And so you're confused because I thought you said the complete edition counted as a separate game that included 92 more. But no, this is the 92 additional in
Hacker's Memory. Because there were ones that appeared in Cyber Sleuth but didn't appear in Hacker's Memory. And Hacker's Memory had some, because they wanted to change the gameplay too. So the ones that were unique, they had 92 different ones. And then combined was 341 different ones between the complete edition. And like I said, I enjoy, like Drew said, it does have little vignettes. It is a little graphic novel-y where you'll have a bunch of dialogue like right before a chapter starts or right as a chapter ends. And then you're just kind of free to.
You went through a digital landscape for 2 hours and then they talk again.
Well, it's not even 2 hours, because how this one did it is like you would go into like, ooh, because you'd have like little side quests and like someone's like, oh no, my air conditioner is broken and it's keeping the entire restaurant at 30 degrees or whatever they used in Japan. It's like, oh, it's keeping it at, you know, 2 degrees Celsius or whatever. I don't know. That other temperature that's not Fahrenheit.
Celsius, Fahrenheit, there's only two temperatures.
Well, there's Fahrenheit, Celsius, and I'm sure there's other ones. Kelvin.
No.
Kelvin's a thing. It's a science thing. You'll know when you get older. but you like jack into the digitize into the air conditioning unit and run around like a two or three screens of fairly similar landscape. It's like what they do is you have like a walkway and then it's just kind of like Matrix style background. Yeah, and
it's kind of a drag.
It's very samey. And then it does make some of the, what's what I'm looking for? Oh my God. The term, the monument, the standout pieces. What's the term?
Set pieces?
Set pieces. So sometimes you'd have really cool set pieces that were like, you know, you're running around like an amusement park and stuff like that. And they would
I've debated going back to it at some point, but I just, I don't know, going back when there's a new game coming out, I'm not sure. And it wasn't landing with me originally. So we got a couple other, like two other major games to talk about. You got any more for Cyber Sleuth?
No, like I said, I very much enjoyed it. I liked it more than I did Hacker's Memory. The story, I think, was better and the characters you got to use and everything. Super, super excited for Time Strangers when it comes out. I'll be playing it.
Yeah. So I don't know the release order. Well, I know Survive is the newest. Did Digimon World Next Order, is that before or after Cyber Sleuth?
It goes Cyber Sleuth, World Order, then Hacker's Memory.
Okay. So I played World Order for exactly an hour. Was completely overwhelmed. Turned it off and I said, F no, I'm not doing this. Tell me what you liked about Next Order. And you want to go back to it because you were trophy chasing and you burned yourself out. Yeah. I think you want to go back to a regular, playthrough of Next Order.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So Digimon World Next Order does count as an actual continuation of the Digimon World games.
Maybe those are connected stories?
I mean, sort of. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, because there's even a character named Karai, and she's throughout the Digimon franchise. She's just like this entity that's human or digital. I don't know, but she has like, she's like an information gatherer, and she appears in the Digimon story games, and she appears in Digimon World Next Order as like an assistant, and then she continues to like help out. And they've announced and shown her new character model in Time Stranger, so she's
popping. But she ain't seen nothing.
I know that they announced it, and I scroll past. You can't not.
Yeah, I sent you the starter.
Yeah, exactly.
Article. Anyway,
so Digimon World Next Order, it goes back to Digimon World, it's like to the original stuff where you have a Digimon, you have to feed it, you have to train it, use it against, you can have to take it to like, you know, exercise things and strengthen its stats as well, unfortunately, as take it to the bathroom.
Yeah, that is such something that they double down on. That should not, just does not
some
need to be.
Some people like it. Some people enjoy it because it reminds them of the virtual pet thing. Because you have to take the virtual pet, you have to feed it, you have to nurture it, you have to.
Yeah, but that you just press a button and it goes to the bathroom. Like you have to like carry around a bathroom with you in this game. Like carry around a porta potty, which is an item that you get to use. You can only have like one with you, I think, or something like that. And use it, and you got to run back to town to use the bathroom. And I don't know. This game. So I wanted to play Next Order because Cyber Sleuth, I didn't like running down digital hallways. It just wasn't working for me.
Mixing between the real world and like a digital hallway. Yeah.
So what Next Order does, in theory, is does what I want to do. It's like you're running around one of
the TV. You're dropped into the digital world.
Yeah, like you're running around one of the TV shows, which is cool. But that game, I want you to hear what you liked about it. That game is when you start that game, it immediately just like bombards you with information and your screen is just covered in stuff and your Digimon's whining about the bathroom and you get two Digimon right away. I kind of wanted to get one and ease my way into the game and learn this Digimon and then get a partner for Digimon and I kind of want to work my way. But that game is screaming information. I don't know if you remember that. You might have called on it better than I did. The start of that game is like so intense with information flying at your screen at all times. And it just chucks you off the deep end. Like, and it's just like, go out in the wild and good luck. Take a bathroom with you. And like, you're just like, I had been so overwhelmed in the beginning of a game in a long, I played an hour. I came back and talked to you. I was like, I literally cannot play this.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
A lot of it's just intuitive. Like they explain
call this game intuitive.
They explain a bunch of stuff to you, but I'm like, okay, I know my guy Digivolves. I have to.
The stuff you know. We know how Digimon work.
Yeah.
But like.
I have to feed it, make sure it's full, make sure it's happy. I have to make sure it
uses it. They get tired.
Yeah, they do have to take rests. I know because you can't let his discipline where he just, you know, uses the bathroom on the ground because that affects his discipline meter, which means he'll go more likely to evolve to like literally a crap Digimon like Numamon or Sukumon. which are known for being literally crap and slime. So you, like, it's just intuitive. Like, now the combat, one of the things I enjoyed a lot of it, because it was like you're in the digital world. You got to run around, you got to interact, you do quests, and it was like all these really cool storylines.
Yeah, even that first map, though, that first map is kind of gigantic.
It's
and there's so many things. Like, I need like a baby's first steps map, you know? Like, I want to walk around like a little forest and like cross a little river and meet like two Digimon and have like two battles. This game's like, it's war! This place is huge!
Well, yeah, because you're
like, what's happening? I don't know. I want you to play it. Like, I know you're probably going to, you won't play it. We'll end up playing Time Stranger for it. I want you to go back to Next Order. And I don't want you to talk to me about it again once you've dabbled again. But yeah, keep going. Sorry, I'll interrupt.
The thing with World Order, like, it does bombard you.
Next Order?
Yeah, Digimon World Next Order. Because it does bombard you, and you are new to the digital world. But one of the people, there's a random person there who's like, hey, what are you doing here? Like, I don't know, I got sucked in. He's like, all right, well, here's kind of the lay down. And that ends up, as you progress through the story, that character is actually the kid you played as in Digimon World 1 originally. That's cool. Same kid. He's grown up and he's been... His
character model? He's
grown up. He's like even wearing the same beanie and everything. And he's kind of cool. Like...
That does have... And it had opens up with a mild town building where you find Digimon in the...
That's that the Digimon World thing.
Yeah, so I was like, ooh, we always love some town building.
I love a town building.
Yeah, very excited for Octopath Zero with a town builder. Yeah.
But because Next Order, it, like Drew said, it does bombard you, and it is like you're like, because you don't have any control over what your Digimon digivolves into. When it hits certain stats and it hits a certain level or a certain level of happiness, it'll just go. You can't cancel it. You can't do anything.
Can't cancel it or nothing.
You can't eventually de-digivolve back to, because that's how a lot of these games work.
Could this one do? We didn't mention. We can't go into the details of all these games, but like Cyber Sleuth lets you lock. So Digimon can go a different line. They can go like A, B, or C path. Once you go A with certain stats in that particular game, when you de-digivolve and go back, you can lock path A.
No.
Not in Next Order.
And eventually.
To unlock the ability.
It's part of the world building and stuff like that is you get people that will completely block out a line or an evolution line for you, so you're more likely to get the stuff you haven't gotten before or something that you want to get before.
Yeah.
In Cyber Sleuth and Hacker's Memory,
You should stream your Next Order.
I put
a vision, because you've been thinking about doing another game. I won't say what game for whatever. Mm-hmm. You've been wanting to stream a game. You probably could. The time changer comes out and we get around to time changer, you probably could do a stream of Next Order first.
Maybe we'll just see.
Play it naturally. Don't trophy hunt.
Mm-hmm. But like you can eventually like the longer you play Next Order, the easier it becomes, the more manageable, because you get farms that farm meat. Don't ask.
It's a Digimon thing.
Yeah, don't ask. But they'll farm hunks of mutton, and you can have them farming one, like each the different qualities, you know, regular, super, max, or whatever. And then you have your people that will farm it, and then the more people you expand your farm, they expand more and better quality, and so you're not having to hunt back, or you're getting better quality food for your Digimon, so they're having more fuel, more likely to go up. You're increasing the rate of which they train and on the better equipment, and you can eventually black out, like I said, things to do, and you do get a there's obviously, because a lot of these games have like a gambling thing and a Coliseum battles and stuff like that for me to test my stuff. And there's all these other things. There's item shops and weapon shops, accessory shops. There's a hospital that you get. The hospital, at first, it only heals status effects, but then there's one that lets you fully heal. Then there's one that lets you like heal. And then if you sleep there, it gives you bonus effects for the next day and stuff like that. Like, all the town, there's not a single person that you can recruit to your town that's going to have a negative effect. Everything eventually makes the game easier. And this one is unique because, like Drew said, he was immediately tossed to Digimon, which can be a little...
I don't think
you get to pick. I think they're just there. Your starter ones, I think, are like...
Probably an Agumon.
I think it's Agumon and Gabumon. I think they're just your starters. But like I said, you'd have no control over until later what they digivolve into. But as they digivolve into, part of the thing is even this is also more aligned with the shows and stuff like that, because you don't have any direct control. You're most of the time a human child.
Yeah.
And you have no control over. It's not like Pokemon, where you like use Vine Whip, Pikachu use Thundershock, Squirtle use Bubble Beam, and stuff like that. Like you're just like they're autonomous creatures.
Yeah, you could scream at them.
You can scream at them. In this game, you can scream like motivation. You're like, you guys can do it. You can do it. You just kind of, it's kind of like you, it's literally you just scream motivation.
Yeah. Is that like a meter you have that lets you expend the meter and like give a direct order?
Yeah. If it went, yeah, you can give a direct order and be like, hey, attack this, but it takes a little more time. But again, the more you play it and the more you interact with the Digimon, the better, like the higher your friendship and stuff like that, the interactivity, they're more likely to obey a command and stuff like that or help out. But one of the things that is unique to this is eventually your Digimon will die. It'll hit a certain thing where it'll get so old and it'll die and then be rebirthed into a Digi-Egg. And then once that happens, you get to pick. You're like, okay, last time I picked this one, so let me try picking this one and get a completely different branch and try something new out. And that's one of the things that kind of tired me out, because I got caught in a bad loop. Because there's a trophy or something for having
rebirthing so many times.
Rebirthing like 50 times or something like that. And some of the stuff in your upgrades for your town would extend their life expectancy, like with the hospital and stuff like that, which is funny in and of itself. but I hadn't bought any of the life expectancy upgrades, and I got to just a bad point where one of them had died and went back to being a baby, and the other one was a champion, and I couldn't get them to line up and sync up again, and things just got out of whack.
Because you were trophy hunting.
I had a really strong one and then a really baby one, but then one time I got the weak one to where it could be, you know, strong, then the other one died, and it just got offset. And those who are being confused by like the different levels, just as a heads up, there are...
You said champion. Like, people are thinking, champion of what?
Yeah, so just as a vague, for people who don't know what Digimon is, there's more in-depth, but I'm not going to go into the in-depth stuff. There is egg form, baby form.
Rookie.
And, well, I think this skips in training. So there's egg, baby, rookie, champion, ultimate, and mega.
Yeah, that's their Digivolve line.
That's the order of which they go, and you cannot usually 90% of the time.
I think they change that in some of the Japanese, don't they?
Well, yeah, there's different verbiage, like perfect. It's child, adult, perfect, ultimate, and then as they progress through the different levels, you're guaranteed. Like, a champion most of the time will always be stronger than a rookie. Mm-hmm. Ultimate will always be stronger than a champion, so on and so forth. And then in this case, in this game, because you have two Digimon, they do open up, which has been in other games, but it opens up to DNA Digivolutions, where you combine two together to make a super powerful one. But the ones that you can actually DNA into are like kind of far and few between.
Yeah, because there's only certain ones. I mean, the most famous one, obviously, is Omnimon. He's the go-to. I can't even think of another one that's even had anywhere near the fame of Omnimon.
Like Imperial Dramon.
Is he a DNA?
Well, Pyldramon, and then Pyldramon Digivolves into Imperial Dramon. And then Imperial Dramon has Fighter Mode and Dragon Mode.
That's not a DNA, though.
Yeah, it is.
Is he?
Because Stingmon, XVmon, DNA into Pyldramon. And then Pyldramon Digivolve.
I think it's because he doesn't look like a combination of the two the way Omnimon does.
No.
Omnimon is just like the coolest. Like, they were just...
I hate to use terminologies that these kids use, but Omnimon's the GOAT. The greatest of all time. That's why he's used all the time. And he's so unique because, example with the Pyldramon and Imperialdramon, there's two champions that merge into an ultimate, and then that thing becomes stronger. The reason Omnimon is what he is because he's two mega levels merged together to create something
beyond.
Like the most.
And he just looks freaking cool.
Looks dope as heck. And one of the cool things about stuff like that is we mentioned it very briefly earlier with the Blackboard Greymon and stuff like that. So because of they introduced these concepts to a game, because there's stuff that can only exist in a game that will never exist in like the video, the animes and stuff like that, where they're like, hey, we have Omnimon, but then we have Omnimon Sword Mode, Omnimon Cannon Mode, where they put Black War Greymon and War Greymon together, and they make one split Omnimon, and both of the Metal Gurumon and Black Metal Gurumon make a split Omnimon, and then they take those, and then the Black War Greymon Black thing make a Zwart Mode, which is like it's Omnimon, but instead of being all pristine, he's all like black and it's like a tattered cape and it's like over a hood, looks like kind of like death in a cowl. And like, they do stuff like that that's really cool. And then, like I said, the double cannons and double swords, stuff that can only exist in the games. And it's cool. But I think I went off.
I swear it's cool.
Yeah, I went off in the weeds. So I was talking about Digimon Next Order, but because they Digivolve, I only managed to achieve one in my
Omnimon.
In while I played, and mine wasn't even Omnimon. Mine was it's stupid that it happened because it's not even a DNA evolution, but it was Gallantmon Crimson Mode.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a Gilmon's line.
Yeah, it's not even a DNA. So I was like, that didn't make any sense, but I got it, and that's whatever. And shortly after I got it, then my dude died, and then that started my whole rigmarole. World Order, it didn't do as well as I think.
Yeah, this is a game. The world games are for certain sickos.
Yeah, certain, but it did do well. From, like I said, from 2016 to October 24, it did sell over 1 million copies, which I think is pretty dope.
Pretty impressive for a game you got to clean up poop.
Yeah, I think it did fairly well. Now, both of these over the course, now see, it's confusing because both of these over the course of roughly 10 years, a million plus to 2.5 million plus. The next one we're going to be talking about is
Survive.
Digimon Survive.
Yeah. Jumps out of the either story and world.
Yeah, it's a whole different start of something else that they wanted to try and do. And it is 110% a visual novel with light combat.
Mm-hmm.
And the combat is so light that they're even like, hey, do you want to auto-battle the combat? So you ain't got to worry about the combat.
Mm-hmm.
And we can even give you story mode combat, easy combat, and different tiers of the combat difficulty.
I didn't touch this.
Because I was worried about it. I almost shut it off, but I'm like, I'm trying to give it a fair shake. I don't like visual novels. I really, really don't.
Mm-hmm. That's all this is.
And that's all it is. Like I said, there's some combat, some, you know, stuff like that. But everything I read said that, this is one of the craziest seasons of a Digimon show you could ever watch.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, it's really good. The story gets better. And I'm just kind of like, oh, okay. And I played like two nights and I was ready to turn it off. I was like, I'm going to be done with this because nothing's happening.
It's just two portraits talking at each other.
Yeah. But everything kept reading. So I was reading every line of dialogue. And I was like, they're repeating.
Did this have Japanese VO?
Some. That's where a decision of mine took place. Is it's a visual novel that has voice acting, and then the stuff that
Japanese voice acting.
So it got to a point where they were doing the anime thing where they were double talking, where someone would say something, someone would go, "Oh, do you mean this?" And the other person would be like, "Yeah, I mean this," and they would reiterate it a third time. I don't know why that particular form of storytelling.
It's in all animes.
Mm-hmm. Where they, you know, because they say something in terminology of the world, and then someone tries to laymanize it, layman terms, and then a third person will make it even dumb it down even further.
Or they'll just say the same line three times.
Sometimes, yeah, that happens too, to really hit home. So I caught wind of that early on, and I was like, okay. And so my decision was, because it had voice acting, is like, if it wasn't voice acted, I wasn't going to bother.
I'm going to read it.
If the game has voice acting, and they did a bunch of voice acting early on, and then we got to certain points, I'm like, if it's not voice acted, obviously it must not be important enough to the story. And so I started just mashing X to try to get through that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked in my favor because they were just repeating themselves, or they were just establishing the archetype that they are.
We're talking about how hungry they were about food. They talk about food so much.
They do talk about food a lot early on because it makes sense because it's a group of kids, teenagers. In this case, they were older. They were like high school students sucked into the digital world, and they're like, what are we going to do? We're being attacked by crazy creatures. We have nowhere to sleep. We're starving. We have nowhere to drink. We have, you know, which is very in lines with the anime. You know, it's, you know, we got to find food. We got to find shelter. You got to find, you know, which makes sense. But I'm like, okay, I know these things. So I'm kind of like speed reading. Like, are they mention anything? Nope. Mention anything? Nope. Okay, here's something new. And then the other thing was they were establishing the archetypes. You have the leader, the guy who thinks he's the leader just because he's the oldest. You have the smart character, the dumb kid character, the scaredy cat. Like, you had the archetypes, and I was like, okay, that dude's scared, that dude's this, and they just sped through, because that's all they were doing was explaining to me to who they were, and then introducing their Digimon. Now, I did read those because I wanted to see meet the new Digimon and stuff like that. And they did a really good blend of like doing half and half, where like half the cast had new Digimon, and I thought that was really cool, unique Digimon and stuff like that. But like I said, fast forwarding through, because it does give you the option, like I think most modern graphic novel games do, because this game does have, and unfortunately it does require 4 separate playthroughs to beat it, to get the 1K in it.
Yeah, this is, you know, so you, not only did you, yeah, you 1K'd this mess.
Yeah, but what it does is, one of the things it allows you to do is you can fast forward the dialogue, but then you have options to where it's either, it fast forwards, or it's instant fast forward, where it just boom, next screen, next screen, next screen. But it will fast forward, and you can have it set in the options to just fast forward, I don't care about the story, or fast forward to dialogue I haven't heard read before.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was able to do that, and because I was using a TA guide, I was able to cheat a little bit, because the game's like, hey, play all the way through making these choices till chapter 8. And he's like, now chapter 8, I need you to make 3 separate saves, because we're going to go to we're going to do the bad ending, the good ending, and then the neutral ending, and the neutral ending will lead to a new game plus, which will have the true ending.
Yeah.
And so once I beat the bad ending, which was better than the good ending, because the good ending and the bad ending and the neutral ending weren't a new game plus, I had to like skip to new dialogue, but I was just skipping everything, because I'm like, the stuff was changing slightly, but not enough for it to matter. And then I started, I read the new game plus dialogue, because I was fast forwarding and stuff like that, though I was able to get the 1K in like 50 hours. But the... The TA guy was like 60 to 80 hours. So I did it faster than they were.
So talk about what, cause I didn't touch this. So I'm going to say two things. One, go ahead and talk about the gameplay that exists. And then, we'll end the survive talk on the good aspects of the plot points that you really enjoy. Yeah. With spoilers on that one.
Yeah. I'll do heavy spoilers. If you have not played Digimon
on that part. So yeah. Before you get to the talking about the story, itself a little bit, because I want to kind of wrap up on that, is get what, so there was a bit of gameplay.
There was some gameplay. It was a which is cool. I would definitely play. It's a tactical based combat, turn based tactical
light. They don't say it.
Yeah, it wasn't super in depth, because it didn't matter if you attacked them from, well, no, okay, it actually did matter if you attacked them from, you know, the sides or the back or the front or your elevation. It actually had some pretty decent stuff. But it was combat, and cool to like Digimon, as far as, again, this is the most like the TV show,
because mm-hmm. even partners,
because every character had their partner Digimon, their single partner Digimon that was a reflection of themselves, either like the exact opposite of them or something that was along the same lines as them. It's whatever they needed to help them survive in the digital world. So you would start combat as your rookie. It never went lower than rookie. You always stayed at rookie. And then when combat would start, as you progress through the game, especially in New Game Pluses, if you've unlocked further Digivolutions, you could literally, immediately the fight starts, you could Digivolve to the highest form.
When it did tie, like the shows, it did tie their evolution to story points, which is kind of cool.
To various story points. And I think everyone's champion was guaranteed through the story, but their ultimates and their megas depended on your social level with them, because you had to interact with people in between. Like you had like these little hub areas in between before the actual story mission started. You'd spend days like, oh, you have 7 interactions points, and you had to use them in the correct way to max out everyone's. Because once they hit a friendship threshold, and I think it was just in the like the, you know, 25, 50, 75, 100.
Mm-hmm.
But 25%. Then, you know, each percentage unlocked their ultimate and then their eventual mega. So I liked the majority of, there's one character that I just didn't like, and he's that person who's like, I'm the leader because I'm the oldest and I have the most experience.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, yeah, but this isn't the real world and you're pretending like it still is. So shut up.
Are you doing gameplay?
Yeah. No, well.
you're veering a story there.
But that's kind of it. Now, it did have a catching thing where you could kind of like
talk to him, personas, talk to him.
But it was much much more narrow. Yeah. Well, you would talk to them, they'd ask you three questions or three statements, and you would say three things back to them, and it would gauge on their, you know, you get 3-star conversation or something like that. And as long as you got a 2-star or above, you could actually communicate with them. Now you could ask for an item, or you could ask them to join you. And the percentage for them to join you is, as far as I could tell, static. Like, it didn't matter. Like, the only thing that mattered is, like, if you asked them, like, someone of a similar type as them. But even sometimes that didn't matter as far, because I couldn't figure out something that worked.
Even with the internet.
Because he was like, oh, yeah, if someone's a virus type, just use your virus type to speak to them. And I'm like, the percentage didn't go up. So I digivolved to a form that, like, the percentage didn't go up. But I was able to find a cheat, thanks to online, because I was fighting, I was talking to somebody, and if I asked him to join me, and they're like, no, screw you, they would run away. And sometimes you only had, like, that one Digimon in the fight. But I read online that you could restart the battle instead of having to try your luck at getting another one in a random combat. So I was able to just keep retrying by it.
You had to refight the whole battle every time, though?
Well, no, because as soon as your turn, which you, in most cases you're fast, it was your first turn. So I would trigger the toxin this first turn, and if it failed, just restart battle.
Oh, okay. So you didn't have to defeat them to talk to them.
You can just talk to them. But it does say that the lowering their health bar or whatever
did it.
Sometimes I never really got it, and it didn't make a lot of sense.
So I remember you said spent a lot of time of your gameplay doing this stuff to recruiting, just for the sheer fact of just collecting stuff.
Yeah.
Even though you could switch people off their partners to these random Digimon, but you really didn't want to because their partners were tied to them with the story.
Yeah, but because also the ones that you recruit couldn't digivolve. They were stuck in their form. Oh, now, weird. Outside of combat, you would get these, the digital discs, and depending, there's an adult digital disc, an ultimate digital disc. It lets you force them to go up to a different level, which made it easier to collect everything.
Yeah, so you were just collecting basically because you weren't using any of them.
No, very, very few times in the story, like part of the story, like if your character was like solo for whatever reason, they're like, oh, you're solo, do you want to add some other Digimon? And I'm like, yeah, might as well. I went out of my way to catch them anyway.
Yeah.
So that kind of annoyed me. Mm-hmm. I was like, it seems pointless.
Yeah.
It's
just like, because it's a monster game, so there's got to be some sort of capture aspect.
Yeah.
And I could have focused entirely on the...
Made the story a little bit better instead of having me do that crap. And I do, because I like the art style. Everything had these cool little chibi things, and then they would do these really cool splash arts. But again, it's a visual novel, so it's like a really cool splash art, and then it's back to two portraits talking to one
another. And I would walk in there. I thought the combat screen looked like a mobile game. I thought the art looked a little cheap. I don't know.
It was cheap, but like chibi and detailed. Mm-hmm. Like it did. Like you could. Yeah, I'm not saying you could pick out every single feather on them, but it was. You know, you knew what you were looking at. That was Bergermon. That's definitely going to be, you know, Vemon and stuff like that. But yeah, it was mostly that, because it was either poking around on a world map that was literally just you poking a picture.
Completely visual. There's no walking around.
There's no walking around. Mm-hmm. You have these intermittent scenes, like I said, that are usually at your hub or in between stories, where everyone's just kind of like, again, it's a giant portrait, and you're panning across the portrait to pick and interact with either the partners or their Digimon, the people or their Digimon. And it's very slow paced, but though, like I said, skipping the dialogue except for stuff that was spoken did help. Now, it was all VO'd in Japanese, so I turned down the volume because it was kind of, it's hard to read and be spoken in a different language. But I turned it down enough that I could hear it, so I knew when to start reading.
Yeah.
Besides,
you think without that method, you would have never gotten through it?
No, I wouldn't have. I'd have given up, but it expedited the process and allowed me to view everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's too much more to add when it comes to game, because it's just, like I said, it's turn-based tactical, light turn-based tactical, and then a bunch of story.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of story.
People say it's 95 or higher percent visual novel.
Yeah, which it is. And I knew what I was getting into.
It's a thing about knowing that and then like being in it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Because you kind of, I think in the back of your mind, and we'll wrap up on the story. I think in the back of your mind, you've heard you've seen all the posts about it and people complaining that it's all visual novel. But I think in the back of your mind, you're still hoping, like, it can't be all it is. And you play it and you're like, oh, it is exactly what people were saying it is. This game is 95% reading dialogue boxes.
Yeah. It's rough. Now, they do what they can to try to.
Nothing's ever going to top. What was it? 13 Sentinels.
Yeah, 13 Sentinels.
That's the only visual novel we ever liked because of the style in which it did it, and it wasn't just two boxes talking at each other. And like people who make visual novels, I know they visual novels still sell like crazy, but they need to look at 13 Sentinels and the way it was made and apply that to other visual novels. I think they would sell even more.
Because it had interactivity. Instead of it two portraits, you would actually move across the screen and interact with stuff. And then you had like the thought bubbles where your choices of dialogue. It was voice acted in English.
Yeah, it was English voice acted. Makes a big difference. We don't know. I haven't watched enough trailers or anything of Time Stranger to know if it's English voice acted, but I don't want to get off on off of Survive here.
Now, Survive.
Story spoilers if you want to play. This game is 100% story. If you don't want to know what happens in this story, then skip ahead till Blake's not talking about Survive anymore, I guess. I don't know a time frame for it.
Now, like I said, there are three playthroughs. You had the wrathful ending, the harmonious ending, and the virtuous ending, and then there was the truthful ending.
That's four.
Yeah, you have to get through, but still.
Yeah.
It starts out like every other Digimon at first, where you're like, oh, the people are together, this, that, and the other, and everyone's got their partner Digimon. And as you're progressing through, you're focused on getting other people's friendships up. But I think in order to get the wrathful ending, you have to specifically ignore certain people. You have to just completely ignore that person. And eventually it causes that person to get so scared that they just kind of like in like a panic, they freeze in a moment of like fear and they actually end up dying. Because there's this fog, capital F-O-G. It's just like it's this thing that's slowly eating away at the digital world. Think of it kind of like a one of those arena shooters. Now they're really popular nowadays, and the world keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller. That's what it is. It's a fog on the edges of the digital world that's slowly eating away at the world and forcing everything, bad guys, good guys, everyone closer and closer to the center of the digital world. And if you get caught in the fog, it eats you. It breaks you down, destroys you, absorbs your data, nutrients, and stuff like that. And so in a key moment, this character is freaking out. He's broke because you've ignored him. His name is Ryo. And you've completely ignored him, and he's kind of broke. He's the scaredy cat, and you've completely ignored him. It's like, hey, dude, you got it. And you just kind of keep hanging out with these other people. And he falls off a cliff, off like a bridge, like a suspension bridge. And he lands in like a river, like breaking his legs. And your guys, by the time you get there, you could go save him, but you might die. And you're just like, oh, we can't make it to him. And then like he crawls, because he's so broken, like he's seeing a picture of his mother in the fog. And so he like crawls towards the fog and then gets absorbed and just dies. And when a human dies, their digital partner dies with them. They share their soul linked or something. But it's messed up because when the human dies, the Digimon dies. But if the Digimon dies, it just shatters the human being emotionally and mentally. It doesn't kill them, it just shatters them onto where they're unrecoverable. But this character just dies. Mm-hmm. And that traumatizes everybody. And then your leader, the guy who thinks he's the leader just because he's the oldest, is like, I'm the leader. We're going to try to get out of this, survive, and be... But he doesn't trust the Digimon. He's like, we can't hang out with these monsters. They're crazy. They kill our friend. He's like, but we're not crazy. We're your friends. He's like, we don't trust you. So he didn't trust his. And his was it's called Lopmon. It's a little brown chocolate looking bunny with three horns.
Well, we mentioned the other one earlier. This is one of the palette swaps.
Yeah.
Terriermon and Lopmon are the same, right? They're the same thing, different
colors. Basically, Terriermon's like, green. Yellow and green with one horn, Lopmons brown and pink with three horns.
Yeah,
but they have the same. They're little bunny rabbits.
Yeah, but they're different Digimon. Well,
the rest of their evolutions are completely different, but their rookie forms are very similar.
Yeah.
But this little Lopmon, it's a cute, adorable, like I said, it looks like a chocolate bunny with long ears that it can use as appendages, as well as it has. And he just like, you're weak, get away from me. He like kicks it, berates it. You know, you're weak, you can't, because everyone else with Digimon have all digivolved. He's like, why can't you do anything? You're worthless, you're stupid. And he's like just treating Lopmon like garbage and all this stuff. And it gets to a point where we get to, again, you go down to some sewers. You always go down to a sewer.
And every game has a sewer.
All games have a sewer. But you're down to like the sewer area. And he's taking it upon himself. He's like, I'm going to make you strong. We're going to train. But he's like pushing him too far. He's like doing push-ups and sit-ups, which is kind of not really how it works. It's an emotional attachment. But he's stuck in his head that it's a physical one, that you're just weak, so I'm going to make you strong. So he's doing all this crazy stuff. And then you witness it. But in order to get the evil ending, you got to be like, that looks like you're doing a good job, guy. Keep at it. And what was his name? His name was Shuji. You're like, keep at it, Shuji. Lopmon's looking stronger every day. And he's like, yeah, thanks, man. And then that all culminates in this crazy thing where everyone's digivolved and he's been... There's someone behind the scenes. There's a Digimon called Arukenimon, which is this like demon spider woman. And it turns out that she's been like tricking y'all. And she's like been manipulating him, making him see people that aren't there. And making him feel like absolute just awful about himself. Because he has father issues and daddy issues. Because his older brother's more successful than he is. And his dad hates him. But that's all psychological trauma that he's dealing with that no one else knows about. He's not leaning on anybody because he's the leader. He's supposed to be strong. But it ends up, his Lopmon's not digivolving, not evolving. That's not moving past to go to his champion level. So he's like, well, I'm just going to beat you like my dad beat me to make me better. So he literally in-game graphics, because it wasn't two portraits this time. It was actually in-game graphics like in the combat thing. And he's just wailing. He's stomping, kicking, punching, just wailing on this little adorable rabbit. And finally, he's like, that's it. Then they all say a similar dialogue. He's like, the emotions, the power from your heart is giving me strength to evolve or whatever. They say like the other one, it says like the same little bit of dialogue, which is similar to the anime. But it's funny because it dark digivolves, which is something that happens when negative emotions are forced upon him. And this has been
established
in the original anime, in everything. So it dark digivolves to something called Wendigomon, which is this giant were-rabbit, essentially. I mean, and when I say giant, I mean massive. It's like a rabbit and a gorilla had a baby, and then it grew 20 stories. It's not 20 stories, but it grew to like be 10 feet tall. It's massive. Yeah. And the funny thing is it's called Wendigo. It's a Wendigomon, which anyone who knows like Wendigo mythology is Wendigo is a demon spirit that would infect people who ate human flesh and stuff like that, kind of like cannibals. And so Wendigomon...
So this is relatively clever.
Yeah. So Wendigomon finally getting the strength to evolve once it turns into Wendigomon, and Shuji is so, he's like, yes, I made you strong, you finally evolved, and the Wendigomon's like, I don't have to listen to you anymore, and literally eats Shuji. It has like a big splash art where he picks him up, and it's a series of them, and he puts him into his mouth and bites. And then it cuts back to like the endgame graphics, and you hear the screen kind of does a fade to black, and you hear a bunch of crunching and splattering noise. And then when it fades back into the game combat, Wendigomon is just standing there, and literally just a splatter of blood across a couple of different floor tiles. And then you have to fight and kill Wendigomon. And then so now everybody's traumatized, and they don't know what to do. And then I think after that point, something happens and everyone's so like they turn against their Digimon, like, we can't trust you because what happens if I actually do something and make you mad at me and you do what that, and it's just everyone so
spirals
out of control. And then you get it happens in the anime too, where something happens and you get booted because of there's this massive like explosive force, and you, the main character, are forced out of the digital world into the real world, and you find out that like, we've been in there for like 3-4 weeks, but you find out it's only been 2 hours in the real world. And you're like, oh crap, there's a crazy time slippage. And then because they do a thing, which they've also established in the show, that Digimon have been there forever. Now, the most recent iteration of them is Digimon from the digital world. But like yokais and onis and a lot of Japanese folklore, how they establish it is they're based off these beings from another universe, from another parallel world. And so all the werewolves and the Loch Ness and like oni, yokai, the kappa, they're all Digimon that have somehow managed to come into the real world. Mm-hmm. And then all folklore, all legends are based off them. And they're like, that's kind of cool. It's really cool. And then you find a way back through like a spirit, one of those like spirit gates. You find a way back through. And then when you come back in, you've been gone for a few hours back in the real world. When you come back, everyone's like just depressed and darkness. And because for them, it's been weeks. Mm-hmm. And everyone thought you were dead. So not only did they lose the guy who thought he was the leader, but he was the oldest, so they kind of respected him. They lost somebody else, and then they lost the actual de facto leader that everyone was depending on. And so everyone just kind of spiraled. And then you resolve yourself. Now, when you get booted back to the real world, and before you come back to the digital world, that is that part while you're in the real world where the game made me make three saves, and I had to replay through that part to make the wrathful choice, the harmonious choice, and the moral choice.
So you save after those two folks die?
Uh-huh.
Your split of games comes after those two folks die?
Mm-hmm.
So they die no matter what?
That's no matter what. But when you do the new game plus ending, the truthful ending, that's how you keep them alive.
Oh, okay.
Because starting the new game plus is when you start over, the people who you've kept alive, their happiness meter stayed. And so I didn't have to focus on them as much as I could spend more time on these other two people to make them
better. So remember you saying that do you have more, is there more deaths to talk about?
Depending on which ending you do, there is quite a bit of death. Because the wrathful ending, which I think was my favorite.
Yeah, because it's like the one that's like, the craziest
it's
one.
It's so crazy. Because what happens is the maternal character, the girl who's like everyone's like she's cooking for everybody, making sure the people who are younger than her are getting like beds and stuff and blankets, she snaps the most. And she's like, how do I explain it, so she snaps the most, and she's like, no, oh yeah, because someone else dies, there's another character that died. I forgot about that. There's a character named her name's Saki.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a point here, once you get back to the real world. Now, as you progress through, you do get slightly more backstory, and you find out that Saki actually has a terminal disease in the real world. Mm-hmm. That's why she's so happy and outgoing and bubbly, because she's dying, literally, inside. But she doesn't tell anybody about that. But then it comes up because her Digimon senses something in her, and you know, they can understand your inner workings. But she ends up being killed. But she's like trying to save some of the big, she's trying to save some people. And one of the main bad guys specifically like runs past y'all to kill her because she sees her, that person is the weakest link to try to kill everybody. So when Saki ends up dying, that also makes her Digimon Florimon dissolve into nothingness. And that causes the character Ao to snap, but not like, oh no, everything's going to be, she's like, well, I'm going to protect everybody. And the best way to protect everything is to bring everyone into one thing, become the strongest. And so it takes some story elements from some, specifically the third season of Digimon Tamers, where she starts forcing her Digimon to kill everything and absorb its data to make herself stronger. Mm-hmm. And she starts absorbing things, absorbing people. And then it gets to a certain point where they then do, again, it's something that happens in season 3 of Digimon, where they bio-merge, where the Tamer and the Digimon become one, and it turns into this really cool-looking thing called Plutomon. And then so she starts, like, she's like, the best way to protect everybody is to have everyone become one thing under me, the strongest. And so she starts absorbing everything. She even, like, kills the final bad guy, and we're like, yeah, we won, we can go. And she's like, no, we're not safe, we have to be one. And so she starts absorbing everything. And then that's the game kind of ends. I think you end up, it kind of fades to black, and you're like, oh no, it ends. But then like you break out for whatever reason, you kill her from the inside. And so you end up killing your friend. Mm-hmm. And so of the like the nine of you that were there, there's only like five left. And then you all, because of what she did, it triggered a gateway to, because she was going to merge the worlds to one world and then absorb everything. So that triggers the merging of the worlds and you can't stop it. And so then it does this little like splash thing where it's like a year later, the worlds have combined and mankind's killing Digimon and stuff like that with all their weapons of war. But then it's like, then it goes on to say that very few people, because it's a very unique thing for Digimon and a human to form a bond and become a Digidestined. And it says that governments were kidnapping and like indoctrinating people who had either taking them and indoctrinating, using them for weapons of war, or just straight killing them. And so your group become like this guerrilla war tactics people, and you're going around protecting these kids, and you're trying to, and it's like, this is like so crazy, and it's so dark, so cool. And then you're like, that's dope. And that was like the rat. And then it's like the end. And it's like, and then like, of course, as the credits scroll and everything, the character says, I wonder if any of my choices could have changed our outcome. And then it's like, do you want to?
So the other two regular endings are not noteworthy.
They are.
You said, I think you said you pretty much did the most interesting thing first. Following the guy, the wrathful thing is technically the most interesting. Everything else.
Yeah, the wrathful thing. But it does eat. The wrathful thing, I said, had that Saki girl die. And the harmonious ending, she's about to die, and then one of the other characters pushed her out of the way, and she dies. Mm-hmm. And it ends up being the youngest character in your crew, but she's like a little 10-year-old girl, which is the sibling from one of your other ones, which causes him to snap. But he goes on like a whole different thing where the best way to save everything is to destroy everything, which is weird because that's the harmonious ending. Mm-hmm. It's funny that the wrathful ending was like, let's merge everything into one.
Be harmonious.
The harmonious thing is like, let's wipe everything out of existence. It seems backwards. Very backwards. But he ends up, let me double check. Okay. And this one did a thing where, because of the ending I picked, we found out that Saki had her terminal disease. When I picked the ending that gave me the harmonious ending, I found out more about the siblings and the reason that they're living out in the countryside where the story takes place is that her older, that the young girl, she's like 12, 13, ends up having a stalker and her older brother beat him to death. And so they had to leave the city. I don't know if he beat him to death, but he beat him so hard that he was in a coma. And yeah, they didn't say that if he succumbed to his wounds or not, but he's been in a coma for like months. And so you're established that this character has a, it says stalker and possible like rapist. It didn't go into that, but he's like, she was never the same after she was with him. So it's implied, but you don't know for sure. And then you find out that why this character has anger issues and he's super protective of his sister. No one else needs to be around her and all that stuff. But then when she dies, he snaps and he forces his Digimon to Dark Digivolve. And then there's a bad guy you've been fighting who's a staple for this franchise called Piedmon, which is just like
a jester.
He's like a jester with swords and cards and clown tricks. It's like Joker the Digimon is so he beats this guy up, and since this is the strongest guy you've faced, he has his Digimon that he just recently Dark Digivolved absorb that guy and turn into something else. And then he goes around trying to destroy everything. And then it's revealed that Piedmon tricked you and that he was only pretending to let your character be in control. And then he ends up killing the main bad guy, this omnipresent, omniscient thing. The Master is what it's called. And then he triggers. He's like, since you're all so stupid, weak humans, I'm going to merge the worlds and I'm going to take over your world too. You know, no matter what you do, the worlds end up merging. Mm-hmm. That's it's something that's triggered by the defeat of the Master. And then it turns out the like I said, this guy was lying the whole time. He ends up killing Kaito and is like, haha, but then you have to kill him. And it was just kind of like, woo, you know, it was just a repeat of what you just saw. But I think hers was a little bit better. It had more emotion because of the sister, but the other one was like a better ending of the way she snapped and everything, because by the end he kind of comes back to his senses. And then you do the moral route, which is instead of either of those characters dying, Saki or Mew, which was the little girl, a digi-friend you've had for the majority of the game called Gigimon. He's this old. He looks like an old man Digimon, but he has like a big bear paw weapon that he uses. He in the moral ending, he sacrifices himself by jumping in front of the attack, and that triggers everyone to become more resolved. Like, our friend sacrificed himself, and then it kind of goes on. And then that was probably the weaker one.
Yeah.
Because everyone lived. It's the more happy ending, but I was like, I'd already done it, watched this thing twice before, so I was just kind of like speed reading through. But the main thing was your friend this Digimon friend dies and everyone else lives. But after...
Except for the two folks that died earlier.
Yeah. But you after this initial death, whether it be Saki, Mew, or Digimon, that specifically determines that, plus the choice you made before coming back to the digital world, specifically determines, like I said, the path you're on, wrathful, harmonious, or moral. And depending on which path you're on, does directly affect what the mega evolution of your Agumon is. Mm. Wrathful is Machinedramon, Harmonious is something called Dino Rexmon, and then Moral is you get War Greymon.
Mm.
And depending on those choices, and when you play through, like when I did the Moral playthrough and got and I was able to do the Truthful, I do had and start the new game. Plus, I had access to. I was fighting the first fight, and I'm like, Agumon, go to War Greymon, one punch kill, with your level 80 self. But the moral ending was probably the weakest. So I was just I'd already witnessed it twice before, and there's nothing really crazy about that one. Just kind of hey, it ends, and those other two people are dead, and I wonder if my choices can change the outcome. And then you do the truthful thing, which is you keep everybody alive through the whole thing. That dude doesn't snap. You keep him alive. And he gets better. He realizes that his Digimon's here to help him. And then because he's alive, he's the only one, because he was the scaredy cat, but now he's kind of like fixed himself. He's resolved. He's stronger. He got over his trauma. And he's also the only person, because he has mommy issues. His mom like abandoned him and stuff like that. So he's the only one that has any idea what that other character Shuji is going through with like his, because he can see the trauma, he can see the daddy issues, and he can see that when he beats up on the little Digimon, because he's only bullying him, it's transference. He's like, it's what was done to me. And so he's the only person who stands up and literally knocks that character out, punched him in the face and says, you need to stop being a piece of crap. And then him standing up makes that guy realize he has been a piece of crap and he's so sorry. And then he apologizes after he does beat Lopmon for a little bit here, but Lopmon doesn't dark Digivolve to Wendigomon with this hug and everything. Makes him turn into the true form. And so then now that everyone's alive, you progress through everyone, you do all their happy side stories, and you get everyone's ultimates and megas and stuff like that. But it also extends the story a lot.
Everybody's more. Alive.
Everyone's alive, and you now have a true villain. And you have to, again, things that have been established in the digital world. This is also part of like the Japanese mythology, because you have these directional gates, north, south, east, and west for like the spirit world. And like north is a dragon, east is a turtle, west is a tiger, and south is a phoenix, or might have
that. That's like in the shows too.
Yeah, and that's like it's in Japanese mythos, and so you do fight these four corner sovereign Digimon, which are in fact a giant phoenix, a cool dragon, a giant tiger, and a giant turtle, and then you beat them. They join you and give you power that lets you beat the main bad guy, the master, but you still trigger the merging of the worlds.
But it's a good thing?
Yes, no matter what you do. But the cool thing about that is as you absorb these, the sovereign Digimon, I felt, because we've talked about it before, but it felt very cool that each time you beat one of the sovereign Digimon is it did erase the fog in the area, kind of like the Genesis trees from Legend of Legaia. Did like a whole little cinematic thing. You're like, oh, the fog's lifting in the area. But you still had to, but it lifted in the area over here, but it was still in the encroaching on those areas. So you had to go beat everybody. You end up winning. The worlds still merge. And it does a cool little foreshadowing thing, like post-credit scene, where there's another character who's like walking around and is like, oh, I hear that there's, because there's like, there's monsters in these woods now that the digital world has evolved. And a little V-mon pops up from behind the thing and was like, hey, buddy, you want to be my friend? And then it like credits, like it leads to like, there's going to be a sequel, but your partner will be V-mon instead of Agumon, similar to the shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was that's Digimon Survive, I guess. Yeah. So that's probably the longest part of the podcast, because that game was literally all story.
It was all story. And like I said, like, it's not bad. And like playing through it, I would watch the show in a heartbeat, because it was really cool. It took some twists and turns. And if they even wanted to do the wrathful thing and then do like a reset the digital world and do a true, because Digimon itself, when it comes to their storytelling, even in the shows, though they are aimed towards kids, do hit darker
points than Pokemon would.
Yeah, always. Darker, slightly more adult themes with, involving death and rebirth. And in some cases, one of the darker ones is, like I said, Season 3 Tamers, where one of the people, her Digimon dies protecting her, and she snaps. Mm-hmm. She becomes like a broken husk of a person, and people try to make her feel better, but she can't. And then something happens and she ends up being taken over by an evil digital entity and whatever. But like, it's always had more mature themes and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And people dealing with trauma and stuff like that to try to make them, that's usually how people got to their ultimates anyway, is first they overcame like, oh, I'm standing up. I'm, you know, to whatever, to become a champion. And then their ultimates and megas usually involved them overcoming, not necessarily overcoming, but like accepting a trauma and not being ruled by it and going on. So there's always had better moral stories and as opposed to Pokemon, I feel like. And that's why I've always been more drawn to it, because I like the storytelling better. And the fact that the Digimon speak English and can talk, and they're not just like, Char, Char, Charmander, Bulbasaur, Squirtle, Pika, Pika. And you have to interpret what they're doing. And these guys are like, hey, dude, I'm hungry. I'm hurt.
I got to poop.
Yeah, you really shouldn't be beating that, your Digimon. You know, it's wrong. But I know I've gone on and on and on, but I love Digimon. I'm super excited for Digimon Story Time Strangers. I can't wait for it to come out. And if this has at all inspired you to want to try Digimon games, please.
Yeah. Cyber Sleuth is like the most palatable kind of success. Yes. The easiest one to get into.
Cyber Sleuth.
Cyber Sleuth would be the way to go.
Yeah. And then like it too has.
Often on sale, I think. Harder to get a physical copy now. We have a physical copy of Cyber Sleuth.
It's harder to get a physical because now everything does like the... I don't think you can buy Cyber Sleuth by itself. I think you have to buy a complete edition.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, on sale all the time.
Anytime there's like, especially like Halloween and stuff like that, they do like all these anime sales and stuff like that. And it's always in those anime sales and monsters and, you know. But give it a whirly bird. And I didn't go into all the details. There's more detail I could have went into because there's like people's names and their Digimon names.
I did all that, yeah. He's kind of one of like, we did a lot more than I even thought we would for Survive.
Yeah.
Because it's all story.
Yeah,
that's Digimon. I mean, that's kind of what we kind of wanted to have a little, I don't want to call it like the celebration of Digimon or a talk about Digimon in anticipation for Time Stranger. I don't know if we'll do a Time Stranger episode or anything like that, but we haven't talked about Digimon at all on this podcast. We talked about the various. We did a couple of offshoot on the Pokemon games mm-hmm. and stuff like that, but Mike wanted to
just talk about
Digimon kind of in a broader sense and a couple of the games he's played and stuff like that. He literally played Survive like a month ago. It finally came on our Gamefly, so Survive was pretty fresh in his memory. And then playing Survive pretty much on top of the announcement of Time Stranger and stuff like that. So
yeah, and I hope this inspires somebody who's never tried it mm-hmm. to go out and play it, or if you're already a fan of it, to like, you know what, let me pick up one of these other ones that I haven't played. Mm-hmm. Let me try, you know. Because it's in this situation, they need to be supported mm-hmm. because they keep like people want them to be the next Pokemon. They're not going to be the next Pokemon. That's impossible to compete with. But they are a more mature version of storytelling and stuff like that. And they need to be supported because I want them to stay around. And I do everything I can to help.
Yep, it's one of the few franchises of games we buy.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like one of our only pending pre-orders. Mm-hmm. Time Stranger and Evil East Chronicles.
I don't think I have anything else to add.
Sure, no problem. So I guess we'll do a hard pivot. We do have the guest thing coming up on episode 150, but next episode, this one, hopefully won't be too similar to your Digimon Survive stuff, where we're doing a sort of a visual. This one's all audio. It's kind of like an audio visual novel. It's kind of cool. It's a game called, we come across it on Gamefly. It's one of our random Gamefly games that just showed up and we turned it on. I was like, this is actually kind of fun. Well, fun as in, or just interesting, but the game's called Killer Frequency, and you play a radio DJ that gets pulled into a series of events of people calling it on the radio, and they're getting killed by a serial killer, and you try to help them not get killed by the killer while telling them what to do over the phone. We'll talk more about, yeah, that does sound kind of silly, we know, but actually, I think that might have hit. Did I get on Game PlayStation Plus recently or something? But I don't know. We got it on Gamefly. But I think it's an interesting little title. We'll talk about more on our next episode. So with that, I want to thank Jared and the guys of Emerge for letting us use Letting Go for our podcast. It's often the best part of the podcast, but you know, what can you do? Check them out. They are doing some shows here and there in the area. So always keep an eye on them on social media because they could be coming to a little spot near you. and go see them, go support them, support new music they put out. Listen, you know, put that stuff on repeat on Spotify. And when they get a new album coming out, make sure you support that. Buy a physical copy of the album, because I know we will be. Mm-hmm. So always support Emerge and everything they're doing. I want to thank, you know, Mladen, of course, Markovic, aka Devious Pixel, for art and everything like that for the podcast. We always, you know, he's the unknowingly the face of the podcast, but you know, there it is. There's art. It's good stuff. He has episode 70 where we talked to him about just art and video games. It's a good time. And we always don't want to forget Brian for taking the time out of his day when he could be playing a game to listen to us talk about a game and just editing the podcast for us. We definitely appreciate that and always look forward to playing more games with him. So we'll catch you next time with a little bit of a little Moita mystery with some Killer Frequency.
And with that, I want to wish everybody a good evening and good night.
Oh,